Every Wednesday morning, we check in with County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. And I know when the sun's out, she's in a good mood. Marty, good morning. How are you?
I am in a good mood. I love this springtime. It's finally going to get here.
Yeah, you let me know when it gets here. I'm waiting. I have my lawn chair. I have my umbrella. I've got everything. I'm ready to plant. I'm ready to do all this stuff, and I've been frozen.
I know. I had to go out and bring in some plants that I put outside in pots, and I knew I was getting ahead of myself, but I just couldn't stand it. I couldn't wait any longer. So I drug it in the other morning. I got up at 5:30 and brought them in.
Well, you're going to have to do it again on Thursday night. It's going to get down to 32.
No, I'm just going to leave them in.
Oh, leave them in? Okay, well, that's good. Well, you got some nice sunshine today that will help. Maybe some rain as well. Let's hope we miss all that. But we do know, and the story we've been making sure people understand today, the IRS is giving everybody one more day to get their taxes filed after they had a computer glitch yesterday. You'll have until midnight tonight to make sure that gets done. So if you are a super procrastinator, you've been given a reprieve. For those of you who have just done plain forgot, well, there you go. And when we talk about this time of year, we always talk about taxes because property taxes are out and about. They'll need to be paid in early May, correct?
Right, May 10th. And it's working a little different this year. And so I've had a lot of phone calls about why are they sending their money to Ohio. And I did get information from the treasurer's office, and it evidently it was online someplace where we could have seen this earlier. I wasn't aware of it. I called other council members, and they weren't either. So sometimes this information is not as easy to find as the people who are putting it online, hoping that we'll know where it is. But the reason, and it's a very good reason why this is happening this way. In the past, during May and November, the treasurer's office hires part-time staff to work with mail coming in and also to work with the people who go in person to pay their taxes. And they were just not able to keep up with that high volume of the mail that was coming in. And so a lot of it was just waiting in the vault, not processed by the, every day as they would like for it to happen. And so then the taxpayers not getting any report that their check had been processed, they were thinking, oh, it's lost, better go pay it again. Then they'd have to put a stop payment on the check. So this is a way really to provide better services so that for those who are mailing in that check, and a lot of that happens with your escrow account, that will just automatically be processed then through the bank. And why Ohio? It's because the bank we are working with here locally, their main office headquarters to do this is in Ohio.
So this is not an erroneous bill. It's not a phony address. It's not some kind of scam or other thing.
No, it just says you make it out to Monroe County Treasurer, but then the address will show you on your statement where to send it, and it does go to Ohio. So it's not an error. It is.
You still have to pay it.
You still have to pay it, and it does not mean the money is really going to be kept in Ohio. It's coming right back. It will be processed and immediately go into the processing to be distributed to all of the taxing units, and because that's what would be coming out next. As you know, that's we lead all up to let's collect the money, and then they have to figure out how to get it back to all of the different taxing units that have a tax rate. And of course, I'm hearing a lot from the people over here because our school district tax rate went up so much, and a lot of folks are concerned about the increases in taxes. And once again, I just want to remind people that the way to get your taxes to be reduced is to get more assessed value out there. That means more housing starts. That adds to that total assessed value and reduces that tax rate for everyone. Doesn't mean that the taxing units will end up with more money. It just means everybody gets to pay a little bit less because they have more people helping to pay that bill. So that sort of leads me into considering what's going to be discussed at the County Commissioners meeting today. They are going to establish a commission for low-income housing. I don't have it open right now, so I'm not sure just what they're calling it. But it's to review what is needed for low-income housing and affordable housing and have a 7-member board come and make presentations to the county council as to how we might help. Now, that means local tax dollars. So I think we have to be very cautious because every time we try to tack on more taxes for something such as this, it makes it harder for those people who are struggling to get their money to pay their taxes on their present tax bill. So I think that there's a wide spectrum here of how we can assist people in getting into a roof over their head. And one of them is to make sure that our regulations and that our planning and zoning is such that it encourages developers to want to be able to get out there and build houses that might be a bit more affordable. That does not cost the county taxpayers anything. It just opens up the door for people who know how to do these things to get out there and do that without a lot of political types trying to do something that's really not.
Well, is government's role to be in relegation and to tell what should be and shouldn't be? I know to a degree it has to present parameters, but where is the line not to cross there?
Well, okay, here's what we do have is we have a planning commission.
Right.
And they are working on where they're going to allow housing starts to go.
Okay.
Where they're going to, remember it was all let's keep rural and all of that. Well, if we don't allow housing in outside of the city to a certain degree that will sustain the number needed in that area, then that doesn't really cost the county additional dollars. If this number of people, if they want to assist to make sure they have housing to live in, well, let's open the door for that to happen.
Amen.
And then the developer pays the cost to get the sewer and the road, whatever. So I think that's a matter of common sense, but I guess maybe we'll see.
Well, that's why I'm exasperated. I thought this is where else are you going to get large pieces of land? Not in downtown, wherever.
Well, the city's talking about taking the hospital property and building affordable housing there. And I think I read in the article today that a starter home is going to be $240,000. Did I read that right?
I'll look it up. But yeah, if that's what starting is, I don't know what's affordable about that. If you do the mortgage payments out of what it is to borrow that money, that's a little different than what it is. But that's the other part of this, Marty, that's interesting. Who determines what affordable housing is? Is it government's role to determine that? Or is it free markets to determine that?
Well, of course, you know that I believe it should be the market. I think every time the government tries to establish, well, okay, we want to do X, and so we're going to put money into it. We're going to take taxes from everybody, and we're going to say we're going to plop that down to, help somebody else get into housing, not understanding what they're doing to a lot of these people who are struggling every month to just make that house payment and pay the taxes and the insurance on it.
Look, I found the quote here. Let me read this quote to you. The panel suggested that 40% of the project be market-rate multi-story housing complexes approaching 4 stories. The vision allots 20% of the property, 20%, to 2-bedroom townhouses or starter homes that could help young professionals into home ownership with a price point of around $230,000.
I thought I saw that.
Wait, there's more. As proposed, 17% of the project would be dedicated to family and workforce housing in the form of 1,500 square foot houses with two or three bedrooms at a price around $260,000.
That's real affordable.
Starter home is two things. Starter home is price, and starter home is space. If you don't have kids and three dogs and wherever else, okay, starter home means you buy a smaller house because you don't want to be in an apartment anymore. Whatever the price is, great. But affordable housing, that's a whole – we shouldn't – I don't think we should intertwine those two terms because I don't think they mean the same thing. And maybe this is what I believe Alison Chopra was talking about when she was asked about it. She said, we need to have starter homes that doesn't meet the or affordable housing that doesn't it meets a different definition. So all this stuff is being thrown around out there, and we need to be aware of it.
Absolutely, because you understand if a group of people get together and they say, oh, well, this is a very good idea. I'm not saying some things might not be a good idea. But that doesn't mean that you should go to everybody and say, now we're going to extract money from your pocketbook to provide this good idea we came up with. Because this is not always the right way to go at it. I believe that if we allow developers to go out there and provide housing for what the market will bear, and the market really is looking for starter homes. I'm telling you, we had, like I said last week, the house across the street from me had like 30-some showings back-to-back. Just because it was like in that under $200,000, it was like $150,000. And there's a market out there for that, absolutely. So the developers and people who see that are going to see what can I produce for that kind of dollar. And if it's possible, do that. But what makes it hard is when we have planning and zoning who say, no, no, we don't want you to build. We just want you to build over here. And that may not always work. So, what do I know? I've only been selling real estate since the 1970s. So, and I've worked with low-income families 4 years, and there's government programs for that comes from the federal government that works with our local lenders. We don't have to put money into that. We just have to allow those houses to go up.
Yeah, two different things there, right?
Right, and the jobs will be there if we allow job growth and so forth. So that's just one of the things I'm thinking about. The other thing I wanted to mention is that the county council did our part having to do with the board that's required to be established for the food and beverage tax. For some reason, the county commissioners and the city seems to be dragging their feet on that. So the county.
When is it required to be done, Marty?
Well, people say, oh, we have to do it within 3 months. No, there's no deadline whatsoever in the legislation that says when it has to happen. The reason why we wanted to go ahead and do an appointment is because the dollars have already been allotted by county commissioners to go ahead and spend up to $25,000 out of local property taxes. And that's the county council's not happy about that. We're saying, look, we told the people it's going to come out of the food and beverage tax money, and if there's expenses coming along the line, that board needs to be established, and those expenses need to come out of the food and beverage tax revenue and not out of local property taxes. So we're trying to make sure the horse doesn't get before the horse stays in front of the cart here on this.
Well, we just got to make sure we have a horse and the cart in the same building, same county, same area here.
Right. So I don't know whether they're just waiting until after this election, because, boy, it seems like there's everybody running for office has got this great idea of what they can throw out to try to get votes. But do the job that's in front of you. Put this board together and quit spending property tax money on something that you know the public was told it was going to be food and beverage tax. Now, I understand that the revenue is not coming in at the rate that they had expected, but but also I bet may just be a delay in getting it processed and so forth.
Who has the ultimate answer for why this is or isn't happening?
Well, I sort of get the feeling that it's maybe that the city, the mayor and the county commissioners can't agree on who it's to be. I don't know. But now we do know that the county commissioner president will be on there and the mayor will be on there. But what needs to be decided is who are the restaurant people who are going to be on there. And that's three. So they need to just pull that together, get it established, start having their meetings, and stop spending or even authorizing expenditures out of the property tax money, because they're talking about taking out a cum cap, and that's property taxes for certain. So I do see that... Margie Rice is announcing a strategy to reduce the jail overcrowding issue. And I'll tell you, that is one thing that if we have to build a new jail, that will be gigantic. So if I'm hoping they'll all come up with their own strategy of what they plan to do if they are elected to reduce the...
A nonviolent offender, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah. Of having to build that new jail. Because,
oh, I see. Yeah. That's a legal issue. That's a city issue. That's a county issue. That's an everybody issue.
Well, I mean, and it isn't like it's we want criminals running around on the street that continue to have everybody scared to death. So for those people who are doing the breaking and entering, I hope that they don't just let them.
Right.
Continue to go out and about and do it again. That's a real fear for people out there. That
who ultimately will make that decision, Marty? Is that going to be the state or?
Well, no, I mean it'll be local courts and prosecutor and public defender.
That's why these are important.
Coming forward before the courts, and the courts will decide sentencing. Of course, there's sentencing guidelines.
Well, that's kind of where I was going with that. Yeah, you can.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the state sent us back the responsibility for so many more of the felons, the felon level, and so that responsibility is greater here. Another person running for one of the local elected offices have said, because, you know, with our community corrections, which is handling all of the probation and so forth, that we need more space. And so they're talking about keeping that all under one roof. Well, yesterday I was at the voter registration office where it's all set up for early voting and so forth. Well, community corrections is on the first floor, and then, I mean, on the second floor, and voter registration is on the ground floor. Well, what? Are they going to move voter registration again? I mean, those are all things that you know, the county council will have to address, because if they do that, then we're going to have to figure out what it's going to cost to move them someplace else, just as everybody has gotten accustomed to them being right there. So I will say there was not much in the way of early voting that I saw when I was there, but that might just have been not a good time. I went right before 4 o'clock, and so... people might not have been out and about.
The numbers say 650 people have casted early ballots. The busiest day was the first day, April 10th, with 127, and April 17th, which was Tuesday yesterday, with 101. That gives you a little bit of a range. The quietest day was Monday with 90. So between 130 and 90 is about your daily average there.
Right, but it seemed to me they might want to reduce the number of hours or something, because that's quite expensive to do that early voting. I understand that probably the first day or two they'll have the most, and then it'll be a drop-off.
Well, the million-dollar question is, do you need it for 4 weeks?
And you're paying for it to go on for 4 weeks, so... it's a very expensive proposition.
And do you need it during a primary or a non-presidential? That would probably be the question, too.
Absolutely the question. And when we're speaking about the presidential election, I just want to recognize the passing of Barbara Bush. She was just one awesome lady. And, you know, one of the things that I heard Dana Perino say yesterday, that one of the things she admired the most about our former First Lady is that she loved her family unconditionally. Now, that says so much, that it allowed her family to stretch her wings, try whatever they felt like they could do, and knew that they had the support of their family. And that's something we as parents all can look at and say, what can we do to strive to do that?
And former First Lady Barbara Bush passing away at 92 yesterday. A part of our history that's been around for, as you mentioned, a very long time, and the family very, very influential on what has happened here. Marty, we appreciate your time as always here on a Wednesday morning. When is your next council meeting so people can be aware of that?
Okay, the work session is this coming Tuesday, and hopefully we'll start looking at the whole budgeting process. I know that Councilmember McKim is going to make a presentation to the department heads on the 26th, so maybe he could just go ahead and do that at our work session. It would be something that I discussed last year, I think, how the assessor and the treasurer and the auditor all work together to make this whole budgeting process work together. So we still don't know how much each of the units are going to lose having to do with the circuit breaker. We had an estimate. We don't know what that exact amount is yet. And so that's going to be a challenge for everyone. So it's something that I really love working on county government budgets. It may sound boring to some, but it's something that somebody has to do. And I sure appreciate the opportunity.
Well, that's right. Get back to work on your budget, will you? Thanks, Marty. We appreciate the time. We'll get caught up next Wednesday.
Thank you.